ever wondered why cars and homes are called status symbols? You know, why is a Range Rover or a 5-bedroom house a symbol of status, when really it's just a sign of high income? All it means is that you have enough money to cover the payments on those things. Doesn't mean anything more, nothing less. And so you're probably thinking, well, doesn't money equal status? Like, if you have a lot of money, aren't you then by definition a high status person? Not necessarily. Status, if you look at the definition of it, status is the position of an individual in relation to others, in relation to others. And so status is all about your relationships to other people, how other people respect you and hold you up and value you. And I'm going to tell you right now, it is entirely possible to have a shitload of money and have no one respect you and your kids want nothing to do with you. It is entirely possible to be a rich, low status individual. But on the flip side, having high status, right? Having other people have a high regard for you, high amounts of respect for you, which starts with respecting yourself, by the way, that absolutely opens more doors for you and it creates more opportunities to make money. And these are the concepts that we're going to explore today. You know, because I've talked to this individual time and time again. This is for the guy who has busted their ass in their careers. They've created success in the financial realm and still found themselves lacking in status and self-respect. And so what we're going to do today, we're going to help navigate some of those solutions, right? So my goal for you today is just to see the difference between money and status and the interplay between the two, how they're related and how they're different, and then identify the problematic thought patterns that can happen if you confuse the two. And then from there, we'll show you how to build status from the inside out. So I'm going to start with a story because I was talking to a friend the other day and he's like, oh, I go to this gym in Chicago and all these people from our school go there, from the University of Illinois go there. I'm like, oh, cool, man. You know, he's like, I saw so-and-so and I saw so-and-so. And I was like, dude, that's awesome. Did you say hi? And he laughs. He goes, no. He goes, person A was on a conversation the entire time, was on a Zoom meeting with their earpiece in and on their phone, just on a Zoom meeting, like wandering around the gym and like doing random dumbbell curls and shit. And like person B just didn't even bother with the earbuds, right? So it was like literally had the shoulder like pinched up in his ear, like while he was doing like dumbbell presses or something. And dude, we both just had a good laugh about it because this, like, on the surface, like, wow, what a power move. You are so important that you have to be on a meeting 24/7. But let's be real, dude, that is not the flex that you think it is. The reality is you are sending the signal to yourself that you're unimportant, and you're actually sending the signal to everybody else that you're a low status individual. Because what you're showing is that your time isn't valuable, that your self-care isn't valuable, and that you have no autonomy in terms of your schedule. You have no ability to draw boundaries, and somebody else is in charge of your time. That's really the message that it's sending. And so if we talk about what status, what being a high status individual means, well, the real flex of status is to show that you have time freedom and you have freedom of expression. And so time freedom, let's start there. That's pretty self-explanatory, but it's showing that at any given moment, you are fully present because you've chosen to be there. Okay. So if I, like, going back to that scenario in the gym, if I have time freedom, I can go and do my workouts and not worry about I have to be somewhere, right? I can go on vacation. I can do this. I can go pick my kids up from school. That's the flex on time freedom. And then there's the freedom of self-expression. Which, think about the way a rock star dresses versus the way an entry-level salesperson dresses, right? A rock star can wear whatever they want and people will you know, kowtow to them. Like, they can do no wrong in the fashion department, even if they look crazy out there, and it just doesn't matter. Whereas if you're an entry-level salesperson, you have to wear the uniform of the job or the suit, and you have to kind of blend in, right? You don't have the freedom to express yourself because you're a low-status individual. And so, you know, here's the problem is that from a young age, we take on this program, we are taught to sacrifice, right? That if we want X, we have to sacrifice Y, right? And we feel the need to take the proven path, which means that we have to blend in. So there goes that freedom of expression. So sacrificing is giving up freedom of time and needing to blend in to take a proven path is getting rid of our freedom of expression. And that's fine, because guess what? In our early days of our careers or whatever, we are low status individuals. We don't have a ton of value to offer the marketplace. We have nothing to offer really, but our time, but our blood, sweat, and tears. That's the way it goes. And so we sacrifice that expression by trying to blend in. And then we sacrifice our time by just putting in the hours, putting in the blood, sweat, and tears, because this is normal. Because at this point in our career, we are still a low status individual who doesn't bring a ton of value to the marketplace. So you take on this mindset, but then here's the part where guys get stuck. The guys I'm talking to who are 35, 40 years old, is even as you gain competence and experience, you never update the software, which is in your brain, right? You never update your self-perception. So you continue to be this busy dude who sacrifices your time, who sacrifices your self-expression because it seems noble. You're like, oh, hard work above all else. Like, I'll draw no boundaries at work, and I'll work overtime, and I'll stay late, and blah, 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 because it sounds so noble. But when you sacrifice your time like that, really all you're doing is you're just signaling your low status to yourself and to others. What you're saying is everyone and everything is more important than me. My desire to express myself, to explore my potential, are not important enough to prioritize. And then, here's the part where it sucks, the world mirrors that back to you. You signal to yourself, and then you signal outwardly, I'm a low-status individual. Well, guess what? Everybody starts treating you like a low-status individual. People start pushing your boundaries more. People start grabbing your time more, disrespecting your time more. And before you know it, the cycle never breaks. You just feel like you are a prisoner in your own life. You have no control over your schedule. You feel beholden to everybody and everything. And maybe, here's the thing, here's the crazy part. This is where money and status get intertangled. Maybe you make good money. There's literally a term for this. It's called the golden handcuffs, where it's like you make so much money that you don't want to quit, even though you have no sovereignty, even though you have no status. And when I say no status, it means nobody respects your time. You are not in control of your schedule. So you're overweight, you're overworked, you're underappreciated, and you don't even have the respect of your family, because you're never around. And you have no status at work, because if you did, you'd have more control over your time and more ability to take care of yourself. I want you to think about that. If you were a high status individual at work, you taking an hour to go work out would not be an issue. So a lot of people are going to say, well, this is what we're supposed to do as parents, right? We're going to sacrifice for our kids. You know what I mean? And from the old like provider role, well, our household needs money after all. And this is my role. I'm the provider. So long as the money comes in, it doesn't matter that I'm always gone. It doesn't matter that I have this soft and broken body because I never take the time to maintenance it, to work out, to nourish it. It doesn't matter that I dress like a dork with fucking Crocs and cargo shorts and shit, because, oh, I'm just a dad. That doesn't matter. What I do is I make the money. I'm not here to dress to impress. And it doesn't matter that I'm constantly distracted with anything else besides where I'm supposed to be in that moment with my family. And if I can be real for you, for just a second, let me be real with you. If you are leaning on that provider thing, like, oh, I make the money, so like that's what matters. My appearance doesn't matter. My fitness doesn't matter. I have to sacrifice my time. I'm going to tell you right now, you're using your role as a provider as a cop-out. You're using it as a way to be lazy, because a provider doesn't just provide financially. A provider, a true provider, there's three parts to the equation. There's finances, yes, but then there's also quality time, and there's also providing an example to follow. And I would argue that you are failing as a provider if you cannot provide quality time and an example that is worthy of following. Here's what I want you to know. It's not either or, right? It's not like either, oh, I can have a bunch of money or I can have status and like, you know, just quit my job and work out and spend quality time with my kid. No, man. Just because your money didn't get you the status that you wanted, the opposite is not true. Becoming a high status individual opens more doors for you and creates more opportunities for financial gain. And here's what else I want you to know. Status is an inside job, right? You have to start with belief, which translates to behavior, and ultimately gets signaled back to you, mirrored back to you, which creates a virtuous cycle. So I have to believe that I am worthy, that I am competent, that I add value to the world. I have to believe that taking care of myself, dressing appropriately, being fit, being mentally sharp, having hobbies, I have to believe that those things will add value to the world. And then I take that belief and it translates to me actually acting on those beliefs. And once I act on them, I'm sending signals to myself and I'm sending signals outwardly that yes, I am worthy of status, I have value to give, and then that gets mirrored back to me. That's a kind of a heady concept to wrap your head around. But this is why I fucking love fitness so much for this very concept, because it's the first place where you can start to reclaim your place in the world. It's the first place where you can reclaim that status for yourself. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to show you a quick framework. I'm going to talk about a quick framework, and then I'll show you how fitness sort of fits into that framework. But to raise your status, you have to go internal first. Right, you can't just have a low opinion of yourself and expect others to put you on a pedestal. Right, you can't have no respect for yourself and expect others to respect you. That's not how it works. So to raise your status, it's an inside job. You have to begin with self-respect, and then once you respect yourself and believe in yourself and believe in the value you add to the world will mirror that shit back to you. So first, you have to create the standards for yourself. So one of the things I talked about before is everybody thinks they have to sacrifice. Everybody thinks like, oh, it's so noble to sacrifice my health so I can make money for my kids. Everybody is willing to define what they're willing to sacrifice because that's the cop-out, right? Because it sounds noble. But if you want to do something besides signal how little you matter, you won't make decisions based on what you're willing to sacrifice. You'll make decisions and you'll create standards based on where you're going to draw the line in the sand. What will you not accept in your life? What level of fitness will you not accept in your life? What level of busyness and what level of control over your schedule will you not accept in your life? You have to start with your standards. And then once you change the standards for your life, you can look at your current circumstances and you can say, how can I change my behaviors within the current circumstances? Right? Maybe you don't have to quit your job. Maybe you just say, hey, I go have a conversation with my boss. I'm bouncing out at 4 every day to go work out. Maybe they're cool with it because you've reclaimed it for yourself, right? So see how much behavior you can change within your current circumstances. And then finally, if that doesn't work out, where do I need to change my circumstances to allow myself to live by those standards that I created? And I love this because fitness is just like this initial tangible starting point here. It allows you to start this whole process, to create some intentionality with your time, and to send the right signals to your unconscious brain, right? So when we talk about creating standards, I've talked about this before, maybe not on the podcast, but maybe at one of our live events and maybe with our group. But like when I first started working out, I my standards changed, right? And that standard was simply this. I wasn't willing to tolerate being small and weak. That was it. That was the line in the sand I was going to draw. I will not tolerate this. And because I am currently small and weak, I had to act violently and aggressively to pull myself up to my own standard, right? And that was during my college days. And after college, this is a standard. I will not accept anything less. I will not accept a life where I cannot be physically fit, where I cannot be strong, right? Which requires time and dedication. And so as I'm now searching for jobs after school, literally one of the criteria is what will my fitness look like around what this job is asking of me? And sometimes I had to quit jobs because I couldn't fit the two into my life. That's creating a standard. That's drawing a line in the sand. Either I can work this job and balance fitness and my, you know, at the time girlfriend, now wife into my life, or I can't, right? And if I can't, I'll go find something else that's going to allow me to do this. And you know what? Honestly, earlier in my career, it probably cost me a lot of opportunities. I probably quit shit too early that probably had a big financial payoff later on down the road. But I decided not to pursue it because I looked at the people who had gone down that road and none of them were in shape. All of them were broken. All of them looked 10 years older than they should have been. I said, that is unacceptable to me. And so I got out. Right? That's a standard. And so with fitness, that's you have to say, hey, I no longer accept feeling this way. I no longer accept looking this way. I no longer accept spending my time in anything less than a body that is pursuing its potential. And once that standard is created for yourself, well, now you can look and you can be like, okay, how can I change my own personal behavior within my certain circumstances? Right? Because sometimes people think like, oh, it's my job that keeps me from working out, or I'm busy with my kids, or I'm busy with whatever. I think you would be surprised that when you change your standards and it's no longer acceptable for you to live that way, how you can find some behavior modifications within the confines of your current life and start moving in the right direction. You can probably find half an hour to 45 minutes a day to work out. You're going to eat anyway, so you can probably change some of the things you eat to align with a fitness goal. Right? Like, you can probably do some of these things within the confines of your current life. You can probably find some places in your relationships with your friends or your significant other or wherever to where you're not always doing things that, you know, are around feasting and drinking, right? Like, you can probably do that. But then you go for it, you try it. And if you can't, then you have to change those circumstances. I can tell you this right now. I've changed circumstances in my life, not only jobs, I've changed environments, I've changed states. I've done whatever I've needed to do to get myself into a position where my environment, my circumstances made it easier for me to follow through on being who I wanted to be. Sometimes that's relationships. Sometimes I can't hang out with you guys because all you do is fucking booze. Right? Sometimes I can't hang out with you guys because all you do is fucking bitch about how hard life is. That's not conducive to what I'm trying to do, right? So it's like, maybe I can change my behavior within those circumstances. I can go out with a bunch of people who are drinking and drink some waters. Or I can go out with a bunch of people who are bitching and try and bring a positive attitude. Sometimes it serves me better to just remove myself from those circumstances altogether, right? And then when I do that, the virtuous cycle continues, because now it's like, dude, I have reinforced to myself that taking care of myself is numero uno. And when I reinforce that, I send that signal to my unconscious brain, that shit gets mirrored out to the world and people start treating me differently. Because I'm going to tell you this right now, being visibly in shape, it sends a signal. It sends a signal to yourself, but more importantly, it sends a signal to the world. Being visibly in shape is the ultimate status symbol. Why is that? Well, remember how the biggest flex that we have is time freedom and freedom of expression? Well, being jacked signals that you create space for yourself, right? To get in shape. It takes time. It signals that you have control over your own time, that you have sovereignty, that you have control over your own priorities. The simple act of making time to get to the gym, to be intentional with what you eat, just to learn the skills of how to put it all together, it takes time and it takes intentionality. Right? So it changes your status in your own mind, right? You're like, hey, I am allotting my resources of time and mental bandwidth and money into doing this. That changes how you view yourself. That is very much a reclamation of your own personal sovereignty. And this automatically gets people to respect you more. It gets them to respect your time more because they see that you respect your own time. And it affords you status in their eyes because they see, wow, this person must have some degree of time freedom because they are spending time taking care of themselves. You cannot underestimate that signal. It's subtle, but it is real and it is powerful. And furthermore, being visibly in shape, being fucking jacked, is the ultimate form of self-expression. This is the most tangible way we have of expressing ourselves. It's through the physical world. It's through our bodies and it's through our clothes. So simply being in shape is a form of self-expression, because what you're saying is, I'm expressing my potential. I am expressing my desire to not be satisfied with mediocrity, but I'm expressing my desire to chase my potential. That's a huge signal. That's a huge form of self-expression. And what's even better, if clothes are a part of self-expression too, being in shape allows you to wear whatever clothes you want to wear. You no longer have to hide things. You no longer have to feel like, oh, can I pull this off or can I not? You have the confidence to wear whatever clothing items you want, whatever outfits you want that you feel best suit you. And that's fucking powerful. It's fucking powerful. And sometimes, you know, you have to wear, not have to, but like, you're better served to wear clothes that blend in, right? Like, if you go to a funeral, you're probably going to wear a suit or something, right? You know what I mean? You don't want to be the guy who shows up to a funeral in like jeans and a t-shirt, right? But there's going to be circumstances where there's certain attire required. But even just having this, the visibly in shape body, and having whatever clothes you're supposed to wear tailored and fitting correctly, that's gonna set you apart. That's gonna be a form of self-expression. But then if you are in a situation where the dress code is less rigid, being in shape makes it easier to pull off any look that you want. And so when we look at, you know, the ultimate flex of status, of being a high status individual, it's not a Lamborghini. You step out of that Lamborghini and you're fat, I'm sorry. Status dropped. If you have $1 million in your bank account and your boss doesn't respect you and you have to go to work or else you lose your job and your kids want nothing to do with you because they think you're such a dork, I'm sorry, you have no status, right? But if you walk around in shape, wearing whatever clothes you want, you have the two things that are the ultimate flex of status, and that is time freedom and freedom of self-expression. And so just remember, it's entirely like we get money and status conflated. We get them confused sometimes. It's entirely possible to have money, but just not be respected, to not have relationships with others. But on the other hand, if you treat yourself like you're a person worthy of status, if you treat yourself with respect, you will ultimately project that confidence outward, and it's going to get mirrored back to you in the form of more respect, more status, and better relationships. And all of those things add up to more opportunities in terms of financial gain. So if there's one, you know, takeaway I want to get here, it's that this: status is an inside job. The amount of money you have in your bank account, the car you have in your driveway do not matter. But the way that you view yourself and the way that you treat yourself and your behaviors lining up with that view is the start of a massive spiral in gaining status and self-respect and respect from others. If you found this interesting, helpful, a new take on the topic, do me a solid. Just share this off with your friends. Just hit that little send button that you're listening on your phone right now. Send it over to a friend. Be like, hey, this is a fresh outlook on a topic I've never really heard explained this way before. I'm curious what your thoughts are. Does this make sense to you? If so, what I want you to do, take a screenshot, tag me up on your stories, paul.lingzo, and just say, this one made me think, you know, or whatever, a fresh take. And I want to hear, and then what I'll do is you tag me in that story, I'll shoot you a message. I want to hear more, because I'll be honest with you, this is a topic that is so fascinating and somewhat new to me. Like, I've only really started paying attention in the last couple of years. And when you reverse engineer it, it explains a lot of people's behaviors. And it explains why a lot of people are so frustrated with their lack of status, but are unsure of how to get it because they've been taught that, hey, dude, it only comes from this one thing. Or they're confused at, like, hey, I'm supposed to sacrifice, but also I'm supposed to respect myself, and I'm not sure how to reconcile those two. And so either way, I love this topic. I love conversing about it. So thank you guys for all the conversations we have about this podcast and just about all the other stuff you messaged me about. I can truly say, like, the little audience we've got, the little community we've got going on here really, really brightens my week every single week. So thanks for that. That's all I got for you guys today. Have an awesome week, and I will talk to you soon.